Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter 7, as we begin our thoughts this morning, in your outline of the book of Revelation, that will be on page 61. Page 61 of your outline, this will be the 21st message in the book of Revelation. As we begin our thoughts of this morning, Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 1. Revelation 7. And verse number 1, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1, "And after these things," after what things? "After the events of the first six seals." Now remember, the tribulation period has started with the opening of the first seal of chapter 6, in chapter 6 and verse number 1. We've gone through the first six seals, the first six seal judgments of the tribulation period. Folks, based on my understanding, we're still very early in the tribulation period. I believe the sixth seal has taken place well within the first year of the tribulation period, quite possibly even within the first month or two of the beginning of the tribulation period. So when we finished up with the sixth seal, we had not progressed time-wise a long way into the tribulation period. Now, after those things, when we get to chapter number 7, God is going to stop time, if you will. The tribulation period is not going to progress in chapter 7. God is going to insert a parenthesis, if you will, in the events that are going on. We started in chapter 6 and verse 1 in the opening of the first seal, and as each of those seals opened, time in the 7 years of the tribulation period was moving forward. We get to chapter 7, time has stopped. Time will not progress in chapter 7 because God is now going to fill in some details that are taking place during the tribulation period. Part of chapter 7 is in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The other part of chapter number 7, verses 9 through 17, is a picture of events that take place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So God is going to give us some important details of things that are going on during this period of time. "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our gods in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Verse number 1, the four corners of the earth. There shouldn't be any confusion there. Basically, what's being referenced there, folks, of course, is the four directions, north, south, east, and west. There's a little bit of information in your outline concerning this. But basically, what's being referred to as the four corners here is the four different directions, the four points of the compass, if you will, are being referenced here. You've got four angels standing on the four corners. Let me mention this. It could not be overestimated the power of angels as God has created them. As we move through the book of the Revelation, we're going to see angels time and time again that have the power to stop, change, or alter the natural processes of the earth. Here these angels have a special power. In other places we're going to see angels that have power to do things as it relates to the sun and some other things that we see. But angels have an incredible amount of power, and some angels God has given the ability to be able to alter the natural processes that take place as it relates to the earth. That's what we're seeing here in this portion of Scripture. To a small degree, we'll see that later as we move on through the book of Revelation. Now, it says they were given, the four angels standing on the four corners, they were holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now remember, the next judgments that we're going to see, the trumpet judgments, are going to directly affect, at least the beginning of them, the first of them, are going to directly affect natural processes. They're going to affect the fresh water and the salt water and the grass and the trees and all those things. Before that happens, though, God has stepped in here. He stopped the process. He's showing John so that John can tell you and I. He's saying, listen, before the judgments go any further, before anything more takes place, I'm going to stop the judgment process long enough for some important events to take place. Now, the event that's taking place here is the sealing of the 144,000 Jewish men, 12,000 from each of the tribes of the children of Israel. With a time perspective, the tribulation starts, judgments begin. Early in the tribulation, a supernatural earthquake takes place and it destroys the armies of the north in the mountains of Israel, Gog and Magog. We spent a lot of time talking about it. Associated with that supernatural earthquake, there were some supernatural events that the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 tell us that causes a great number, especially from the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, to turn to the Lord. Folks, it's my belief that a lot of that witness affects these 144,000. I believe that's one of the causes that these 144,000 Jewish men trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What are the other reasons? Well, there's the special ministry of the two witnesses. We haven't even talked about them really, other than just mentioning them in passing. We'll not talk about them now. Two special witnesses are sealed by God at the very beginning of the tribulation period, and they witness and minister through the first 3.5 years, and they are actually killed in the middle of the tribulation period. The difference between those two witnesses and these 144,000 that are sealed here is that these 144,000 never die, folks. They minister throughout the tribulation period. They live through the whole thing. They enter into the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies as the first fruits of the children of Israel. And we're seeing here that God is pausing judgment until that sealing is completed. Now, when did it start? Please keep in mind, there's some surmising or some speculation involved here because the Bible doesn't specifically tell us, but here's my understanding of it. I believe they begin to be sealed at the very beginning of the tribulation period. At the very beginning, God seals the two witnesses. They begin to witness. Remember, they have supernatural power. They're able to cause it not to rain on the earth. They are able to bring down fire from heaven to consume their enemies. They even have the power that if someone tries to kill them, for example, if someone tries to kill them by shooting them with a gun, they have the supernatural power for that person to be killed in the same way. And we'll look at that later on. They have supernatural power. They result and the salvation partly in the result of these 144,000 being saved. The second thing's already mentioned, the supernatural event, so the destruction of Gog and Magog causes these 144,000 to be saved. And the third thing that I'll mention here are the many silent witnesses that are left after the rapture of the church. Remember, the rapture's taking place, the true church is gone. But folks, I'll tell you what's left. There's untold millions of Bibles that are left on the earth. There's gospel tracts left on the earth. There's good Christian literature that's left on the earth. And I believe after the rapture of the church that those silent witnesses will have a big part in the multitudes that are saved during the tribulation period. And make no mistake about it, there will be a great multitude of people saved during the tribulation period, both in the first 3.5 years and in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The winds here being referenced in verse number 1 is referring to the judgment process of God. They have withheld the winds that they blow not. Wind as an instrument of judgment in the affairs of men is seen often in the Bible. I put down on page 61 of your notes numerous references. There's a lot more, and you can read those for yourself later on. But when it talks about them stopping the wind, these angels stopping the wind, it's talking about them stopping the judgment process of God that's going on the earth. Verse number 2, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east." East in the Bible points toward the glory of God. We see that in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 3, in Ezekiel 43, 1 and 2, in Ezekiel chapter 47, and verse number 1. So here's an angel that is coming from the presence of God. And he's got, the Bible says, having the seal of the living God. And with that seal in verse number 2, in verse number 3, he says he's going to seal the servants of God in their foreheads. So God stopped judgment processes. Nothing else is going to take place until he gets all of his 144,000 sealed. An angel comes from the presence of God, having the seal of God, and with that seal of God, he is going to seal those 144,000 in their forehead. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, do you believe that that is a visible something, a visible seal that people can see?" I absolutely do. I believe that there's no question at all on the earth during the entire tribulation period, those 144,000, when they're in the presence of whoever it is, they automatically know. They know that they're the special servants of God. They've got a seal in their forehead. And folks, I just love this. I just love this stuff. They're unkillable. The Antichrist can't do a thing about it. They come into wherever they want to come into, whatever city, whatever place, and they preach the Word of God and they witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil jumps up and down mad and the Antichrist wrings his hand and slams things against the wall, because no matter how much he wants to do it and no matter how much power he has at his disposal, humanly speaking, he can't do a thing about these 144,000. They are unkillable. They're sealed by God to minister throughout the entire tribulation period. What a remarkable and miraculous thing that is. There are many precedents in the Scripture for God sealing and preserving His people. God sealed Noah and his family in the Old Testament. God sealed Rahab and her house in the destruction of Jericho. And in the tribulation period, God is going to seal His special servants. Now, the seal includes the idea of salvation, but a lot more is involved than that. It also involves supernatural protection from anyone that would kill them, and also it seals them from the plagues that God sends. Now, folks, here's another miraculous thing. I love this stuff. Here's another miraculous thing. The trumpet judgments are going to start. And these trumpet judgments are going to affect all kinds of natural things, the elements, the trees, and the waters, and all kinds of things. And a lot of people are going to die. But you know what? Those trumpet judgments won't affect those that have the seal of God. Men can't kill them, and the plagues that God sends on the earth don't have any effect on them. because of the supernatural seal of God that God has placed upon them. Another wonderful thought about this this matter of the seal is that all the saved will have a similar badge of identification throughout eternity. The Bible declares in Revelation 22, 3 and 4, His servant shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Well, folks, that's talking about you and me. Just like those 144,000 are sealed in their forehead by the seal of God that the angel that came from the east had, you and I that are saved will have that badge of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. In verse number 3 it says, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now folks, I see from a time perspective, I see God not only given a little parenthesis in the judgments here, a little pause for a moment till they're all sealed, but I see this time-wise going all the way back to the very beginning. You see, I believe this process started at the very beginning of the tribulation period. Now, we're not very far into it. At most a year, in my mind, much less than that, maybe only a month or two. But this process of sealing the 144,000, it begins at the middle. It's completed well before the middle of the tribulation period. I have no way of knowing exactly how long it takes, folks. I cannot say that it takes, well, it takes 6 months and all 144,000. It takes a year and all 144,000 are sealed. It takes 2 years. I do not know. I believe it takes place rapidly. I believe it's finished well before the middle of the tribulation. And these 144,000 spread out across all the earth during the tribulation period and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 4 through 8 simply tell us that there are 12,000 tribes sealed from each of the tribes of Israel. Now, I don't want to spend much time on this because I want to move on. But let me say this. If you read the description that's given here, the names of the 12 tribes, you're going to find out that the 12 tribes that are listed here, the way they're named is not the way they're named in the Old Testament. It's a different list. There's two of the 12 tribes that are mentioned in the Old Testament that are not mentioned here in this portion of Scripture. Now, there's two thoughts on that. Some believe that Dan and Ephraim are the ones that are not mentioned. Some believe that Dan, because it was a small tribe, was absorbed in Nephtalim, and that Ephraim is represented in Joseph. That is my view, folks. I believe that Dan was absorbed in Nephtalim, and Ephraim is represented under the name of Joseph in this portion of Scripture in Revelation chapter 7. Some believe that Dan and Ephraim were left out because of their sin. You might look at Deuteronomy 29, 18 through 29 and some other portions of Scripture. I have them listed for you. You can read that and study it for yourself. But listen, folks, there's a lot of stuff written and said today about the lost tribes of Israel. As far as God's concerned, there ain't any tribes that are lost, folks. He knows exactly who they are and exactly where they are, and He won't have a bit of trouble in the world bringing them back together in whatever form He wants them to be in during the end time. So I don't waste any time worrying about that. I just trust that the Lord has His purposes, even though I may well not understand even a small fraction of it. But we do have the 12 tribes that are mentioned here. Now look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and psalms in their hands." Before I read any further, could I turn back and read verse number 11 of chapter number 6. Now remember, here's what God had said. "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now folks, God had told those under the fifth seal that had been martyred in the first 3.5 years, He said, I want you to rest for a little while because there's a lot more that are going to be killed. They're going to give their life for the name of Christ like you have. Those that are going to die like they did is who we're reading about right now in chapter number 7. Verse number 10, it says, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Now folks, can I throw this thought out to you right here? This wording that I'm reading right here in these verses, why did God put that in there like that? In my mind, God put it there because He wants definitely for you and I to know who these are that we're looking at right here. One of the elders brings it up to John. One of the elders says to John, who are the elders? The elders are church-age saints that have been raptured. They represent you and I. One of the elders asked John, he said, and let me paraphrase, John, who are all these that we're seeing this great multitude from every tongue and nation? Who are these? John didn't know. And John said, sir, thou knowest. And to that, the elder replies, and he tells you and me exactly who these are. Look again now at your Bible, verse number 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he, the elder, said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Folks, verses 9 through 17 show a great multitude that are saved as a result of the testimony primarily of the 144,000. Now remember, the two witnesses witness until the middle of the tribulation period and they're killed. And no doubt they had an effect on these that are saved after the midpoint of the tribulation period. But the 144,000 continue to witness. Now, why do we have these people given to us in relationship to the 144,000? I believe it's because God is showing us the fruit of the ministry of the 144,000. And that's the reason we have it listed as we do. So remember, verses 1 through 8 of chapter number 7 takes place in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and verses 9 through 17 of chapter 7 takes place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, the Bible specifically says that they came out of, verse number 14, great tribulation. If you go back in your Bible, you'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ Himself referred to the first 3.5 years of the tribulation as the beginning of sorrows in chapter 24 and verse number 8. And then the Lord Jesus Christ Himself referred to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period as being great tribulation. And we see that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 21. So we have here a picture
of those that were saved during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. From the awfulness and the fear and the turmoil of the sixth seal, now folks, think with me for just a moment. God has stopped the movement of time, if you will, by putting a pause, putting a parenthesis in here for us to see the time is not progressing in this chapter. My question is, why did He do that? Folks, we had just seen the devastation of the sixth seal. The earthquake was so great that the Bible says that every mountain and island were moved worldwide to some extent. The sun had become black because of the volcanic activity. Could I put a parenthesis here and say this? Some good Bible commentators see the devastation of the sixth seal and the devastation of the seventh vial judgment as being the direct results of nuclear warfare or a nuclear holocaust, if you will. I do not. I believe that the greatest loss of human life during the tribulation period, I've already said this, and some things I'm going to repeat over as we go. I believe the greatest loss of human life during the tribulation period is in the first four seals. Warfare begins, 1/4 of the world's population is killed. From that point forward, through the rest of the tribulation period, even though human warfare never stops, folks, it keeps on all the way through, I believe that the greatest loss of human life from the period after the fourth seal and through the rest of the tribulation period, I see all the loss of human life, or primarily the loss of human life, as the direct result of supernatural activity that has been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle has seen the devastation of the sixth seal. Things seem hopeless, probably. But you know what God does? In God's grace, God pauses for just a moment in showing John the judgments. And He shows John that even in the midst of all the devastation, even in the midst of all the loss of human life, He shows John that there's going to be a great multitude of people saved even during that horrible time. Folks, that's just a picture of the grace of God. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3 and verse number 2, he made reference to the fact that in wrath, God remembers mercy. And folks, that's what we're seeing here. Even in His wrath, God is remembering mercy. And He gives a witness upon the earth that is going to witness through all of this terrible 7 years, God is going to make sure that there's a witness. Folks, we're going to be coming to it before too long. God's even going to have angels flying in the sky proclaiming the everlasting gospel, and the men on earth will actually see in heaven, see the angel flying and the angel proclaiming the Word of God. God, even in His wrath, will remember His mercy and multitudes are going to be saved. If I go back to verse number 9 for just a moment, the Bible says in verse number 9 that these were clothed with white robes and they had palms in their hands. They had palms in their hands. A palm branch is a symbol of victory and triumphant gladness. The palm is connected with the Feast of Tabernacles. This phrase, this sentence is in your notes. The palm is connected with the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the last and closing joyous feast of the nation of Israel. The scene that we have here in verse number 9 is the antitype to the Lord Jesus Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You remember? When the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem and the people sang Hosanna and they broke the branches off the palms and they laid them down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some even took their clothing, their robes off, their coats off and laid their coats on the ground. And as the Lord Jesus Christ rode on the colt into Jerusalem, the people sang, the believers sang Hosanna in the highest. Folks, here you have a picture of that same event, the anti-type of it. That was a preview of something that was going to take place in the future. And here it is right here. Here's these folks with palm branches in their hands and they're shouting the victory. Every one of these have died for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been martyred. And yet now they're shown in great victory and triumphant gladness, and they've got white robes, the righteousness of Christ, and palms in their hands. And there's triumphant gladness and praise as they praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 17 of this chapter is one of the most beautiful sentences and one of the most gracious promises in all the Word of God. If I could read verse 16 and 17, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Folks, that's a promise that you and I could claim, but it's a promise that's directly related to these that have died in the tribulation period. Folks, get the picture. These are all killed after the middle of the tribulation. Remember what happened in the middle of the tribulation period? The middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist becomes a beast. He sets his image up in the temple in Jerusalem, proclaims himself to be God, and he says to the world, "You'll worship my image, and if you don't, you will die." And the false prophet makes a decree. He decrees that the whole world must have a mark put on their forehead or on the back of their hand. And if they don't have that, they can't buy or sell. Anybody that takes the mark will automatically be doomed and damned for all of eternity. Folks, from mid-tribulation on, the people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't buy anything, they can't sell anything. They'll be starving physically. All that's going to be over with, though. All that's going to be over with. They're shown here in victory in heaven. They escape the terror and the turmoils of the tribulation period by giving their life. But folks, they gave up that which they could not keep in order to gain that which they could not lose. And now they're with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. Chapter number 7, a parenthesis that God has put in. In chapter 8 and verse 1, we'll see the opening of the seventh seal. And from that seventh seal will issue forth the seven trumpet judgment.